was so excited when the baby was coming out of Mariko. I was actually blocking the doctors who were helping to bring the baby because I was so curious. My head was like, so they had to ask me, can you please move aside? We can't see the baby coming out. That's how excited I was.
Hello and welcome to the Connect Two Marriage podcast. I'm Jo and I'm your host for this episode. Now, in each episode of the Connect Two podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, intimacy, conflict, sex, and much, much more. So we hope you will keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, and stronger in your marriage. Now, marriage and family life brings with it its fair share of joys and challenges. And this is why we're unpacking a topic today that many couples face, coping with the transition to parenthood. Becoming parents is a profound and transformative experience filled with ups and downs. I've been through it and I know how tumultuous it can be and how difficult to navigate this transition. In fact, one of the books that I read during the time when expecting my first child was about how your marriage can survive a newborn. And so today I'm excited to welcome Jason and Mariko, who have been married for 5 years and they have a 3-year-old daughter, and they're going to share their experiences of surviving a newborn child. So welcome to the Connect 2 podcast, Jason and Mariko.
Hello. Hi.
Thank you for joining us. And maybe to help us get to know you a bit better, I mean, I know that Jason, you're in the tech industry with a big tech actually, and Mariko's doing more research and actually related to this in the area of early childhood, but maybe you can tell us a little bit about, and our listeners, how you met.
We actually met through like Coffee Meet Bagels, a dating app. And at the time, I think I was just in this rut of feeling like I'll never meet anybody. I literally told like my cell leaders that time, I don't think I'm going to get married. I'm going to be like forever single. And then they were just like, are you even putting yourself out there? So I got on the app and then I ended up matching with Jason and a few others, but I never actually wanted to meet anybody. It was like the kind that didn't want to transit out of like their online life, just keep talking to like people, and even when they initiate dates, you're just like, maybe next time and stuff. But somehow God worked this way, and then this guy turned out to be near my house, like literally just opposite my street. And I think that night I was just like heading home and he was like, oh, I'm also at the MRT station, let's meet. And I was like, okay, if you can find me, let's meet, that kind of thing. And I think because like he really ran, and that, so that kind of like impressed me. But the part after that kind of like creeped me out a little bit, because like we were just walking and talking and he just kept following me home, even though I kept saying, oh, your house is that direction, right? Like, shouldn't you be going another direction? And he's like, oh, yeah. But he just kept talking and talking.
So the to-be stalker became your husband.
Yeah, exactly.
Jason, to be fair, we'll hear your side of the story.
His side is probably like different.
Mariko and I met at Coffee Meets Bagels. So for me, I was actually getting connected to a couple of girls because I was very clear with my intention in the app that if you're with this intention to getting married, then we can continue talking. But if you're here to explore, then let's just not move forward with it. So those are one of the first few conversations as I'm having with Mariko. And then one thing that impressed me about her is she put a very, very, very casual, with no makeup, shorts, and like a t-shirt that you wear at home, kind of a picture. That really impressed me because that made me feel like she's being very natural and herself. It just caught my attention. And then we were talking and then we're getting chatty. So, and then one fine day, she was near the MRT station, and then I just wanted to impress her, met her. For me, it's just, I'm like, this is very old school, right? It's a night time, it's around like 8:30-ish, and her house is in a landed property, and you need to walk like really deep inside. So I thought, as respect, and just walk with her till near her house, and then say goodnight and leave. Didn't think about the perspective that she was thinking that, oh, this guy could be creepy. But yes, I think the following week I did ask her out on an official date. We went to the Botanic Gardens, had dinner, movie, and then I dropped her back home.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
I'm sure you might have caught maybe another podcast that we've done before about how people, you know, get together through our online dating apps. It's a new thing, right? But it's actually here to stay, I believe. But today, back to our topic, transition to parenthood. And I mean, we talked about, you know, the joys of parenthood as well as the challenges. Maybe we can start by just sharing what was your, I don't know, greatest joy of becoming a, you know, mom and dad for the first time, and at the same time, the greatest challenge that you had.
I mean, for sure, the greatest joy was having the opportunity to become parents. I don't think at that point in time we really understood that. Like, but now that we are trying for a second one and it's proving to be a little bit more difficult as compared to the first time, then we're really, like, I guess, embracing the fact that we actually have that privilege to become parents. That was probably that unexpected privilege that we kind of landed ourselves in. But the challenge for sure is the transition. I mean, when I was pregnant, it was still, you know, like the same. Everything was, you know, we still could go out whenever we wanted to, sleep whenever we wanted to. But then, like, the moment that the baby came, it just felt so different. Suddenly your body is not yours. You have to breastfeed every few hours. And then that time I was struggling with breastfeeding, so it's like a whole new concept of having to attach somebody to myself and not having like my true freedom also. I think the night feeds, because I'm a night person, but he's definitely not a night person. So Jason really struggled with the whole like night feeding. And I think he wanted to be a supportive husband. So he really tried to like wake himself up, keep himself awake and stuff. But then the next day he would be very grumpy, and I think that was like a whole transition for us, you know, like a learning curve was so fast to get through together, just managing our lives. Like what you said, you know, that book of surviving parenthood, right, of a newborn, it really was like that for us, transitioning and figuring out what kind of parents we wanted to be, what kind of couple we wanted to be as with a newborn itself. It's very different because your life is no longer yours alone. It revolved a lot around Fiona for a long period of our lives, especially the first year. I mean, I always tell my friends that I think life as parents truly only begins after one, when they can walk and be a little bit more independent. I think when I stopped breastfeeding, for sure.
Okay, breastfeeding is not something you experienced.
Yeah. Well, but for me, I think I was very, very excited to become a parent, not knowing the full scope of what I'm going to enter myself into. But the minute I got to know that we're going to have a daughter, that excited me more, because I always wanted a sister, but I never had a sister. Then I just wanted a daughter, kind of, and God blessed us with a daughter. And I think it just doubled my happiness, my joy. And I really wanted to give her my best, prepare myself to be the best. So it took time before Mariko could deliver to rethink about what are the kind of father examples that I've experienced in my life, especially some of my friends who I grew up with. They are from a very well-to-do family. But then when I always have conversations with them, they'll be like, what do I have to talk with my dad? I mean, because their fathers are all like absent fathers because they're always traveling, busy with work. So even having a meal with just with them is quite a struggle for them. Like, what do you want me to talk? I mean, so all those things came in my head to make sure it's a good reminder to mold and prepare myself what I'm going to get myself into. And what is a father that I want to be for my daughter? So that's how I approached it. Super excited. And the first year was definitely a struggle for me, especially with sleep, because with work, I was trying to catch up with work, a lot of new projects I was trying to manage at that point in time. So it wasn't the easiest. But I guess the most crucial and the important aspect that I think we struck together is how we partnership together. She started with frustration, but then she molded herself into a kind of a, like a teacher trying to mentor me and trying to help me understand that how we need to partnership together to have a better and easier pace of life later on. So I think once I was able to look at things at a better, at a different perspective, right? I think we were on board to doing things together, how we part, like the first year, whenever she pumps, I will wake up and I will feed my daughter while she pumps, so that both of us are awake at the same time and sleep at the same time. And we manage each other's energy also accordingly to that. Yeah, it was quite a journey. And for me, it was a struggle, but I enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah. It hasn't robbed you of the initial joy and excitement.
Definitely not. I was so excited when the baby was coming out of Mariko. I was actually blocking the doctors who were helping to bring the baby because I was so curious. My head was like, so they had to ask me, can you please move aside? We can't see the baby coming out. That's how excited I was.
The early years of marriage are filled with unique challenges and opportunities for growth. What happens after saying, I do? At the Connect to Just Married workshop, you will gain practical tools to work through differences and conflicts and learn ways to keep the romance alive. If you have been married for 5 years or less, this workshop is for you. Get more information at www.family.org.sg/C2JustMarried.
I think we should invite you back in about 10 years time when we have a preteen.
She's already got an attitude. She wants to imitate what Mariko does, like the way she behaves. She gets upset the way Mariko calls me. She calls me with another name and she's upset, so she tries to imitate that, and they say all those sighing and all those things.
But the father sounds like he's going to be the forever doting dad.
Definitely, yeah. To tell you, I'm like the sugarcane that goes in between the wheels, because it's one side is my wife trying to say, no, you can't give in. And then the other side, my daughter has those dreamy eyes looking at me and saying, Daddy, you have to carry me or you have to do this. So I'm like crushed in between which one should I do or what should I not do. So
have you figured that one out?
Trying to steer more on my wife's side so that I
happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a wise decision. That's what you should do. Do you hear that, everybody? Okay. Mm. So always listen to your wife. Maybe let's jump into the practicalities. It always takes a toll on the relationship between husband and wife, because our attention will get shifted naturally, you know, to this helpless young human being that needs us 24/7. How do you keep your relationship still going apart from... It sounds like you did quite a bit of like coordination as to how you want to raise your daughter. But, you know, especially in the area of romance, intimacy, just time for yourselves to be husband and wife, not just mom and dad.
Prior to having the baby, I knew what our parenting journey can look like. Maybe because I had a few friends that were also like young parents, or like they had journeyed through like the parenthood journey, right? So when they were sharing with me their life stories, then I picked up certain things, like sleep training is something that I need to adopt so that I can have the nights off, because like the kid will get into the routine of like being able to sleep through and stuff. So that was something that I was very firm, like, okay, I told him really from the start, like, we are going to sleep train. Even if it's tough, we need to do it like at the beginning. And I think we really struggled at that time because revolving our lives around like somebody else's schedule was so difficult. It's really not for everybody. And I tell that to my friends even now also, who are those that are embarking on this whole like parenting journey, right? That sleep training is wonderful, like there's all the benefits, but then there's also the struggle of having to be very firm, like, okay, no, at this time you need to put the kid to sleep. You need to put the kid to sleep. Like, you cannot keep carrying the baby all the time and stuff kind of thing. And just being firm, like, just very different from.
And Jason survived that.
Yeah, so that was my biggest struggle, because it's very painful for me to hear my daughter cry, and then I can't go into the room to pick her up because she'll say, no, you have to persist this season so that we sleep train her, and then in the longer run, we will appreciate it. So it was quite a struggle for me. I even wanted to quit the sleep training thing.
Yeah, it was
twice
a point of contention.
Yeah, we really got into an argument once. Like, because it's very, very hard, you know, to hear your daughter cry and you can't pick her up. For me, it's very hard.
It only stopped after, during the second month, when she slept through the night and reclaimed our sleep back. And then he was just like, babe, this method works.
Yeah, it really works.
We need to keep doing it.
Because for us, right, I think because the social life, like for me, exercise is very important. For her, meeting her friends is important. I have night global calls. So to accommodate all this, when she shared using the opportunity of doing the sleep training and making this work, I was really able to appreciate that, because we were able to sleep train Kiona and then we were able to still go ahead with all our personal things that we wanted to do.
Yeah, so, I think you can be good friends with my husband. He will totally like agree with everything that you said. But yeah. I can imagine, you know, as you are struggling with an issue like sleep training, like how do you even move to romance?
The second part was we found our community or village like that really helped us, to encourage us through that journey as well. Because as we talk to more people, you know, like we engage more with tips or like strategies that they employed and used, then we also adapted it into our own lives as well. So having to learn to let go and trust maybe my parents to like take the night duty to put her to bed so that we could go out at night, even just cutting short our like date nights, you know, instead of trying to maximize the night of going out and doing like watching movies and stuff, you know, just having a dinner at the start was a privilege and something that we started off with before slowly moving on to now currently JB nights.
Wow.
Away from the kid. Yeah.
Indeed. So,
Yeah, we have moved on.
Yes, you have leveled up for sure.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, before we run out of time, in each podcast, we actually address a frequently asked question that couples would have about marriage. And so today's question related to our topic today is actually from a wife. And she says this, my spouse and I are expecting our first child in September. Oh, that's very soon. I feel fearful that having kids will bring new tensions and conflict into our marriage, especially with expectations from parents or in-laws. Any advice on how we can better prepare ourselves for this milestone?
The most important thing, the core thing to start with, is to have that open communication with your partner, trying to understand what kind of a parent that we want to be. Is it like, for example, even the sleep training, it doesn't apply to all the parents, you know, depends on their lifestyle, their character. You can do own time, own target kind of sleep, or you can do a scheduled sleep kind of setup. So this is one of the examples, right? So in every aspect, you can think about what kind of a child that we want our daughter or son to grow up to, and what kind of parent that we want to be so that you can journey with them in the right way. Mm. So this is the most important thing. Then the next aspects come in terms of family, parents, then friends and community. I do think society and family does play a part, but I think you need to have those checks and balances to see what's your bandwidth, what's the best that you can give. You can't please everybody, but I think it's very important as the family, as the parents and as the child, you're able to have that connection and bond to grow up together. And then also eventually try your best to make the other aspects of life go along well.
I like what you said. Can't please everybody. Did you have in-law problems? I don't know. Parents, I mean, grandparents.
Very thankful for me. I never had issues with my in-laws. They're very chill, very nice. For me, my father-in-law was always a very motivating person because he's an engineer. I'm an engineer. So the way we talk about stuff, about news, about stock market, a lot of things to connect to, and his dad jokes, I will laugh, but they will not laugh. So it's just that I really like talking to him, having conversations with him. And then my mother-in-law is also, she's pretty chill and she's a very, very nice, humble person. She started from a very small setup to now she's a lawyer. She's a very good person.
Yeah. I don't think that like it's important though as a couple to have this agreement that when you agree with something, because like parents have their own philosophy of how parenthood should look like, right?
As and I, your parents.
Yeah,
right?
My parents, yeah. His parents. I mean, everybody has an opinion about like what can be done, should be done, right? But then when the two of you have like agreed on something, then you have to really make everybody else around you understand it. And it can be very difficult. I think it was very difficult initially for like me when if his parents said something or like wanted to do something, then I found myself in a very like tight spot of like, I don't want to offend them by like, you know, sharing with them something that my own personal opinion. Mm. So like I would actually tell him about it and then we had this agreement that, okay, if either of us are upset at our parents or the other sides, the in-laws, then the person will have to go and deal with their own parents in that sense. So if I had an issue, you know, something that his mom did, I wouldn't have to go and like voice out to his mom, like he would do it. And then if he had an issue with like my parents, then I would have to go and address my parents in that sense. I think that helped us also with the whole like journey, and perhaps I got more irritated at my parents because they are living with us in Singapore. Yeah, so it was difficult. My mom has her own understanding of what sleep training looks like, that it's nonsense and she doesn't believe in it. So we really struggled, but I also had to learn to like let go of certain things, especially when I needed their help.
I do agree with Mariko, you know, I think this is something that I also would advocate. I'm very happy that she's on the same page as me. Though sometimes things that my parents say or do, her parents say or do, might not align to what we want, but we are very sensitive about how to be respectful to them. So we try to go to the right channels so that we do not want to offend them. We still want to have a happy life, happy family. Also for Kiona to grow in a very happy environment.
Yeah, and you feel less lonely also in this journey because every time I watch movies about moms and like parents, you know, and then the like wife is just like struggling by herself, and then the husband just, why are you struggling? I'm also struggling by myself. Then, you know, that disconnect. Then I just, I feel so terrible for that couple that has to go through a separation before like both of them can understand each other. Mm. When like you actually didn't have to have that. You try to relate more and then understand and communicate.
If you're going to struggle, and you might as well struggle together.
Yeah, exactly.
Get into the same boat and drown together.
That's
Isn't that what marriage is about? Like, you're already in the same boat. So you have to plug in all the things. If not, then you will drown, right?
It's true. It's true. Yeah, I think what you said, it's such a simple, basic, fundamental principle of marriage, but we often forget about how we need to just, you know, maintain unity, right? Mm-hmm. If we are firstly not even on the same page ourselves as husband and wife, we do need to get together and talk about how we can come to some form of agreement. And then after that, only when we are in agreement, then we can put up that united front to other people.
That's right.
Okay, this is great stuff. And, you know, before we go for today, do you have anything else, any last tip of encouragement or a really practical advice that helped you and your marriage to survive your newborn?
Something that I would say is I was very insistent on date nights or time with her. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a dinner time where we talk about our daughter, Kiona, but it can just be like casual, simple conversations, meaningless conversations. But it's just that I just wanted to take everything out of my mind and I want to share with her. I want to be transparent with her so that she knows what I'm going through, what's going on in my mind, so that she also knows how she can support me in the next upcoming month or week with a newborn baby, or how to space her energy also accordingly. And I think communication is very, very key, because with that communication, we also know how we are going to go towards in life together. Because sometimes I think about something, but if I do not articulate it in the way, then I assume that she has to do it in a certain way and it doesn't come out in that way, then it just leads to disappointment, frustration. And I have experienced this and I'm still journeying on this by myself to get myself on a better pace. Mm. And she even points it out. She said, see, this is what I'm trying to tell you. You are trying to ruin something before we even go for that event, or you're trying to go and meet someone. You need to be a little more careful about how you're trying to express yourself or what you want to say. So these are different things. But I think communication is key and how you manage it with your partner.
Yeah, keeping an open mind about each other's comments or like opinions, I guess that helps as well with this journey, because everybody feels it differently. Everybody has their own journey and own struggles as well that the other partner might not really understand unless they take the time to listen.
I love it how you guys have repeated the importance of communication many times just in our conversation today. And I take it that, you know, with what you shared, it's not just allowing communication to happen spontaneously, but it's obvious that you guys have kind of pre-planned it, knowing what will come, what's ahead of you, especially when baby comes along and life gets turned upside down. Yeah, and I think that's really, really critical. So I really hope that today, for all our listeners out there, there's something practical that you can take away and take a leaf from some of the things that both Jason and Mariko have been through. In each podcast, we also end off with a couple challenge for our listeners to do and share with each other. So if you are listening to this with your spouse, you can do it right now. If not, you can share with your spouse what you've just heard and then do it with him or with her. But today, you know, as we talk about the transition to parenthood, I'm sure we had dreams, goals for our family, for our marriage before we became parents. But now that you are going to become a parent, or you've already become a parent, maybe just recently, what are your new dreams as well as your new goals for your family and maybe even for your marriage? It could be as simple as a date night, you know, as what Jason has shared. Do share with each other. What are your dreams and goals for your family and marriage now that you are parents or are becoming parents? Well, that's all we have for now, and we hope you found today's episode helpful and encouraging. Do share this podcast with a friend who might also benefit from it. If you have been married for 5 years or less, we have what we call the Connect to Just Married workshop. And this newly launched program aims to equip couples with practical tips to strengthen your unique bond as you navigate the foundational phases of married life. So you can find out more about that at family.org.sg/C2, Just Married. And you can find out more there. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and don't forget to take care of yourself and your spouse.